Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take podcast. Bright and early in the start of your week on this Monday morning. Josh here, and he's back. My co-host after, a week hiatus, you could say, maybe a couple week hiatus. Alex is back, and Alex, I missed you on the solo recording there. I said it in the episode, first time in a long time I've had to do one of those, and I don't miss it, I'll tell you that much. So, appreciate you coming back on here, you know, not continuing your hiatus throughout the rest of the semester here at school, and
Josh,
making the time
you're making
for the Giant
it sound
Take
like
ride.
I was gone for years and years, and I just abandoned you. I was gone for one 20-minute episode. But yes, I am back.
It was a pretty good 20-minute episode.
Well, it was pretty good.
I'm not trying to like hype myself up or anything.
I mean, don't try to
do that.
I did do
some research on all the drafts. I thought I gave pretty good insight on the free agents. And with that being said, Alex, I guess I want to ask you about any of them. You know, anything that stood out to you? Because I said in the episode, I was like, you know, when he comes back, we're gonna get his take on some of these things. So. Any thoughts on Drew Locke? Any thoughts on, you know, I guess I'll start with Drew Locke and I'll move down the list of what I had in the outline.
I mean, Drew Locke, I thought it was a decent signing. I don't really think it affects anything in terms of the draft too much, but I think he's a solid backup and similar-ish type abilities to Daniel Jones, I'd like to say. Obviously, a little bit more of a gunslinger, but yeah, I like the Drew Locke signing. I think you get some upside there as well. So overall, pretty happy about that one.
Anything else that stood out to you? I mean, I don't want to go down the entire list, but
Austin Schlautman, the interior offensive lineman, I thought was a pretty decent signing. Yeah, I mean, besides that, a lot of these are just kind of, I guess, replacement moves to just kind of replace guys who were already here. I will say I was a little bit surprised that Ben Bredesen ended up leaving. I thought he would stick around. I thought the Giants would re-sign him, and he actually got a very small deal, I think 1 year, $3.5 million. So I'm a little surprised the Giants didn't try to bring him back for that price, of course, unless he wanted to leave. So that's kind of what I'd say about what you talked about last week.
All right. That's it. Yeah, Hodgins coming back. I mean, Holmes.
Yeah, Hodgins. I forgot
getting
about
re-signed.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, Hodgins and Holmes. Couple tight ends in there, you know, Isaiah McKenzie. I said basically the Paris Campbell replacement because it was the same day that, not the same day they signed McKenzie, but it was, McKenzie and then,
Paris Campbell moved to the Eagles that same day.
Eagles.
Yeah.
But I just meant, McKenzie being that replacement. Hopefully doing more though than what, the very little Campbell did, basically being a healthy scratcher each game.
Yeah.
And okay. All right, yeah, so sounds good there. And I guess I didn't even say this in the top of the show here, is very exciting times for the Giant Take podcast. I mean, we look forward to these. Obviously, you listening look forward to these because these are one of our, you know, top episodes every year is our mock drafts for the New York Giants, our 7-round mocks. And that's what we're going to do for you today. I mean, Alex, I guess we'll start off. You did the mock draft. Before we get into, you know, the nitty-gritty of it, I guess, any brief synopsis without giving anything away?
I mean, I would say it was an interesting, like, approach to doing it because you kind of in my fake GM seat or whatever you want to call it, and you're kind of looking at what you need first round. It just seemed like, there's really two options, and that's somehow hoping that J.J. McCarthy falls or that he's there or you got to trade up. And then obviously the wide receivers as well. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers obviously are options there. So that's kind of what I was looking for in the first round. And then second round, I will preface there was no trades in this one. I think usually we say trades for either the next one or like a third or fourth one or whatever it may be. So you'll have to wait on that. And then the second round, I was looking basically best player available. Second round, I think, is always that place that you look best player available. And then the third round and fourth round, I think you're drafting a little bit more for need. That's kind of the way I look at it. And then I think fourth, after the fourth round, you're just kind of looking again, best player available. So Yeah, that's kind of the way I looked at it. I will say this draft definitely does have some holes, in particular, one position group that was just not addressed at all, that, you know, was addressed a little bit in free agency, but I need to address more, or that you'd hope would be addressed more even in the draft. So that's kind of what I'll say, and you'll see what I'm talking about as we get towards the end.
All right, sounds good. So we won't waste any more of your time kind of getting you closer and closer to that 1.07 round mock draft.
You don't want me just circling around the draft and talking, maybe this is what I did, maybe that's what I did. I can just tease everyone for hours, Josh, if we'd like.
Well, I guess we're going to keep teasing people, because what we have right now is a break coming up on the Giant Take podcast, but we'll be right back, and I'm telling you, I swear we will actually get to the draft. We promise. It's coming right up on the Giant Take podcast after a quick break. All right, welcome back to this episode of the Giant Take podcast. 2024 New York Giants mock draft, 7 rounds, 1.0. Well, technically, only 6 rounds, because that's how many picks the Giants have in this year's draft, and that's where it caps at. All right, let's do it. We'll start out with number 6, the Giants draft a quarterback, to the Giants draft a wide receiver, to the Giants draft an O-lineman. We go wide receiver in this 1.0. It is Malik Nabers out of LSU, the 20-year-old. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. Now, this is expected, I think, by a lot of people. I think by the majority of people, because those quarterbacks are going to fly off the board. We can hear from Alex, who, you know, did the mock draft, obviously, if that was the case in this mock draft for him. But Caleb Williams is going to be gone. Drake May is going to be gone. Same thing with Jaden Daniels, we would assume, by pick 6. So the next top guy for the Giants in their draft board process is Malik Nabers, who's been rumored to the team probably since January. And now we're sitting in March, in a week from now, I believe it'll be April. And pretty crazy stuff. Draft less than a month away. But for Nabers, in 2022, 72 catches, 1,017 yards, 14 yards per catch, and 3 touchdowns. That was, again, in 2022. This last season, 89 catches, so about 15 more, 1,569 yards, so about 500 yards more progression between 2022 and 2023. Yards per catch went up to 17.6, so a 3-yard gain there. And this is the clear indicator of the difference between the last two seasons. 3 touchdowns in 2022, 14 in 2023. So an 11-touchdown jump that made him a unanimous All-American this past year. And he leaves LSU as the all-time leader in receiving yards. Alex is going to get a little more into the scouting aspect. If you want even more of a deeper dive, then that is your plug to check out our wide receiver rankings that we've already done. That's out on the Giant Take YouTube channel. That's out on podcast platforms. But a little brief scouting report that we'll do for all of these prospects that we end up selecting in this mock draft. But first, Alex, actually, that's what I wanted to circle back and ask you. Do you remember if all three of those quarterbacks were gone by 6?
So, yeah, it went, I believe it went, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then the Denver Broncos, I believe. I don't know how I remember this, but I do remember it. Traded up with the Cardinals to get J.J. McCarthy. Then Chargers just took Marvin Harrison Jr., and we are sitting there with no choice, really, but to take Malik Nabers in. I want to touch on something you just said, actually, with the receiving yards. There's been some talented LSU receivers, OBJ, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. For him to be top of the list of receiving, that definitely tells you something about how good of a player he is. I mean, his positives, I'll get into it. You know, like you mentioned, Josh, we did talk about it a bit in the wide receiver preview, but very good burst and explosiveness. He's got really good long speed as well. He's a good deep threat, but he can also be an intermediate guy, you know, a short range guy with good yard after catch ability. He's a really good flexible route runner. And he's got really good ball tracking skills, good ball skills in general, anywhere around the field. The only negative with him is that his release is a little bit weird, and that he kind of struggles, especially against some more physical corners. But I think as he gets to the NFL, maybe puts on a few pounds, just, you know, gets coached up a little bit from that aspect, I think he could be a really, really good prospect here. And there's a reason that people are talking about him as one of the best receivers that we've seen come out of college in a long, long time.
Yeah, Alex, and that's the thing. I mean, we got to address the wide receiver at some point. We tried to do it in like the second round, the third round in the past few years. We got what we believed was a steal in Jalin Hyatt last draft, right? So this was his rookie season this year, yes. And didn't really use him as much as we hoped, didn't really get that explosiveness as much as we thought we would. The glimpses are there. The brights are there. Is that just going to, you know, do anything more than that? Is Darius Slayton going to lead the Giants in receiving yards again? He's a very middle-of-the-pack wide receiver in terms of the entire NFL. What are we going to see out of Wanda Robinson? If we get someone like a Malik Nabers, that can be our wide receiver number one. And I feel like, Alex, we've said about wide receiver number ones in the draft for at least the past 3 years now. Hopefully Nabers can be that guy if the Giants select him at six. We move from the first round to the second round at pick 47. We're going to address the defensive back here. Cornerback Anis Rakeshaw Jr. out of Missouri, 22 years old. 6 foot, 198 pounds. Obviously, the New York Giants losing Adoree Jackson in the offseason. They're going to need to figure out how that quarterback room is going to look. They're going to need some additions there. They did some by signing a couple in free agency. Now, they're not huge additions, you know, bringing Darnay Holmes back, bringing in, I think that was really it for the cornerbacks because the rest were just safeties replacing Xavier
McKinney.
You
have to imagine that they're going to bring in a couple of veterans at the minimum, but definitely a really big need that people are just not really talking about for some reason. Because right now you got Deontay Banks, probably Darnay Holmes in the slot, unless, again, you address that in the draft. And then opposite him, you've really got nobody. So they have to draft a corner, I think. And we did here in the second round. Josh, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, I'll actually look to kind of just go off that point, but let's not get too sidetracked here. So Trey Hawkins, the third, obviously, from last year's draft can be a shout in there. Cordell Flott and Nick McCloud, who the Giants also brought back to this year. And that, yeah, besides that, I mean, it's really where we're at. So, all right, let's get into Rakeshaw a little bit. 2022, 35 tackles, 1 forced fumble, 1 interception, and 12 passes deflected. Now, in this year, the same amount of tackles, same amount of forced fumbles at 1, 4 passes deflected instead of 12, so went down, actually. And then that's the stats for him. And then before Alex gets into the pros, I did want to mention that there is an injury history of 1 significant injury that is a torn ACL. He did that in his sophomore season. That ruled him out for the rest of the 2021 season. He did it early into the season, but came back in 2022 and had a better season than he did in 2023. Played every single game in the 2022 season as well. So recovered super well. I don't think it should be something that the Giants should be completely, you know, frightful of or scared of, because the way he bounced back was very, very good. And that was years ago now. So he should be completely, fully recovered, but it is something to mention. All right, Alex, go ahead.
I mean, as I just kind of, before I even talk about the pros and cons of each guy, I just kind of want to talk about the mindset a little bit. You're kind of looking guard, obviously, is a potential spot that you kind of want. Still, despite some of the additions made, obviously not the most important. Edge rusher still, even with the addition of Brian Burns, linebacker. You could go a lot of different spots here, but I think Rakeshaw was just the best player on the board at this time, and he just seems like a player that the Giants would really covet. He's actually, interesting fun fact here, Josh. He has been all academic honor roll every semester that he has been in college, so a very, very academically driven guy, I guess. Which I think
I got to talk to him, Alex. Yeah, I got to figure that out.
No, we both got to talk to him. We need some advice here because we're not even playing professional football. I'm not sure we're doing that. But yeah, I mean, in terms of his combine, he's only ran a 4.5 140, which was not super great. Probably puts him around the average, but he did measure in with a 76 inch wingspan. So people love long arms for corners, and he definitely has that. And the 4.5 1 is not too big of an issue. He's definitely, despite that time, still a very quick athlete in terms of his quick feet, and he could really turn well and run laterally with receivers. He could play both man and zone at a high level, which he did at Missouri, so that's good. You're always looking at the scheme in college, what were they able to play. Missouri plays a little bit of both, so he was generally solid at in both options. And then he's also a really good tackler as well in the run game, which, again, something you can more coach up, but it's good that he has that already. And then the negatives for him, despite being 198, actually, he's still a little bit thin. So he could get a little bit bullied by some bigger receivers. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, DK Metcalf, whatever it may be, some of those bigger guys, some of those animals that we're seeing at the wide receiver position now. And then he is a little bit handsy as well. Did have a little bit of a penalty issue in college. That is something that needs to be coached up as well. But yeah, Rake Straw, I mean, he definitely has potential to play outside or slot. I think right now you're looking more of an outside guy, but worst case that doesn't work out, you can move him to the slot, and the Giants need a corner opposite Deontay Banks, and it would be a nice, young, and exciting duo going forward.
And I believe when I remember doing research on him that Matt Miller of ESPN, who's a draft expert, really loved him. Had him going in the first round, actually, in the 20s. So to get him at 47 would be an absolute steal. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's ready to type in the comments who are fans like Matt Miller. He's not going to last this late. What are you doing? Remember
you know
Jalen
what,
Hyatt from last year?
You know, you're funny you mentioned that, because when you do research too, it's very funny. You'll see him like mid to late first round, and then you'll see him third, even early fourth round. And he's a very divisive player in terms of what people think of him. I think the general consensus is he's around this range. But yeah, there's interesting kind of differences in how certain people see him. So interested to see where he actually ends up going in April.
Well, we just talked about in the beginning of this, you know, talk for the pick about the safeties that the Giants brought in to replace someone like Xavier McKinney, which is a big loss for the team, a very consistent player, someone who played in every single game, literally every single snap, and a reliable player that they can look at and get is this guy. In round three, pick number 70, safety Javon Ballard out of Georgia, 21 years old, 5'10", 198 pounds in 2022, had 46 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 1 fumble recovery, 2 interceptions, and 3 passes deflected. In 2023, 56 tackles, 2 interceptions, so same as the prior year, but 10 more tackles and 5 passes deflected, so 2 more than the previous season. A guy who plays at Georgia, so we know he's surrounded by a lot of talent. We know he plays against a lot of talent, and someone I talk about reliability, and I think that's something that Ballard is definitely going to bring to the table. Alex is going to talk more about that, but just kind of comparing him to McKinney, not like specifically like, oh, what is his game similar to, but in the way that I know Alex didn't get into this, but I did want to just mention the football IQ is something that we saw with Xavier McKinney a lot. He could read the field super well. That's what you have to do at the safety position, especially if you're in a zone coverage and you're dropping back deep and you're the last back. Whereas if a deep ball goes off, you need to be there and read that and read the QB's eyes and where that wide receiver is going. And along with that, read the one guy who's going deep with everyone else on the field, right? So I think that is something that Ballard brings on the table, and Alex will touch on that more and everything else that goes along with him.
Yeah, definitely on the smaller side for safeties. I think, you know, not necessarily a huge issue for him, but, you know, something that is, you know, needs to be taken into account, I guess. But the positives, he's very good with his movement skills in tight spaces. He's got really good hips and coverage. He can turn quickly. And he's got pretty decent burst in those short areas. But that we'll talk about the downside of that and the cons in a second. And he's really a good sideline to sideline guy, kind of like McKinney, honestly, where you can see him really moving from sideline to sideline to make plays. And because of that, he has really good ball skills, tracks the ball well. And because of that, he can undercut routes, he can make plays. And that's something that's a big positive for him. And like you said, Josh, very good football IQ. He can recognize things in the run game, in the pass game. He can see what kind of you know, plays are about to be run. You know, he reads the quarterback well. So a lot of positives from there. But he is a little bit slow in terms of recovery speed. If he gets a little bit out of position, if you find it tough for him to get back into a space where he can make a play. And I think if he's not exactly sure where he needs to be, sometimes there can be a little bit of an issue there. And then his tackling's a little bit inconsistent, and that's something he's going to need to work on, you know, as he gets into the NFL for sure. But yeah, overall, a really, I think a really fun player, and only 21 years old. So definitely someone you could kind of hopefully project to be an even better player than he is right now. And you can't really go wrong with Georgia defensive players. So there's that too.
So, I mean, you're looking at the safeties right now for the New York Giants. Jalen Mills, the veteran guy that the Giants signed, former New England Patriot, I believe also former Philadelphia Eagle, if I'm not mistaken. They have, ESPN at least, has him already as a starting strong safety. The starting free safety is Jason Pinnock, and alongside him, Dane Belton. So the Giants need to address the safety position, definitely. And so I think doing that by bringing in someone like Ballard or someone else in the draft, you know, whoever it might be, would definitely be good for the team. All right, so back-to-back positions of loss, now gain in the NFL draft in 2024 for the New York Giants that we have at least. We lost Xavier McKinney, we get Ballard. We lost Saquon Barkley. And in round four, pick 107, we get running back Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. He's 20 years old, 5'10", 210 pounds. I know what you're going to say. He's a little short. He makes up with that with his elusiveness and his quickness, which honestly helps because he's a little shorter of a running back. In 2022, 146 carries, 875 yards, and 10 touchdowns. And then in 2023, 137 carries. So actually, it was 9 less carries, but 200 more yards about. Broke the 1,000-yard mark with 1,013 yards rushing, 4 TDs, so 6 less touchdowns. But something that was added to his offensive, I guess, weaponry, or you can say, on the Volunteers was his introduction to the passing game, which was used a little bit more, hopefully, or a little bit less than we would hope, but hopefully it'll, you know, help him develop with that in the future on NFL franchises. 22 receptions for 141 yards. You basically saw zero catches. I think it was like maybe 5 or 6 in the year prior to last season. 2023 All-SEC second team, and Alex is going to get a little bit more into that elusiveness with Wright.
Yeah, I mean, he ran a 4.38 at the Combine, one of the fastest running backs there. But along with that speed, which you can see on his game film, he actually is a pretty tough runner for someone who's only 5'10". So he does break tackles. He does play with physicality, and that's something that you want to see despite his size. And that's a big positive for him. He's very patient. Also, when you watch him, and he's really looking for those gaps, looking where to go. And because of that, he can make some big plays. You know, he also can, like you mentioned, receive out of the backfield. You know, if you get the ball in his hands quickly in particular, that was a lot of where his production came from, when, you know, kind of just quick screens, whatever it may be. So if you could do that also, we get him in the open field, I think he's very dangerous. And then the weaknesses, like you mentioned, Josh, a little bit small. A lean frame, maybe needs to bulk up a little bit. Of course, that could take away from his speed, but he's already very quick. So in the NFL level, I think that wouldn't be an issue. And then route running, obviously, a very simple route tree at the moment, something that you want to develop at the NFL level.
Yeah, and I really like his vision. His, you know, his ability to kind of, when he's in the backfield, get that handoff, find time to find the open holes in the O-line and get through. Very good job there by Wright, and I think he'll be a decent player in the NFL, and I hope that the Giants do select a running back. And if it's him, that's absolutely, you know, phenomenal. I take that. And at pick 166, is that the fifth round are we at this point? Is 166?
Yeah, 166, fifth. Yeah, so we got fifth and sixth, and then no seventh, unfortunately. Or fortunately
no,
for us.
No.
Fortunately for me, because it would take forever for me to figure out who we're going to take in the seventh round, I'll be completely honest. These picks get so hard as we get down, because I'm just looking at a list of players, and I don't know most of them. So then you got to do research on each guy. So yeah, less later round picks, it's less fun after the draft, but pre-draft, it's more fun.
Round five, we actually get from Carolina the pick from the trade with Brian Burns, I believe, linebacker, Maris Lefaun, from Notre Dame. I hope I'm saying that right. 6'2", 238 pounds, 23 years old. In 2022, had 51 tackles, a half a sack, one fumble recovery, one interception, and one pass deflection. In 2023, 44 tackles, 3 sacks, 1 forced fumble again, and 1 pass deflection. Just your everyday solid linebacker that can slot in as a backup behind someone like Bobby Okereke. And that's really what I'm sure Alex is looking for at this pick in the fifth round.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, another guy who could probably be a special teams contributor as well, and that's kind of what you're looking for later in drafts generally. He's got really good size, his frame. He's got really long arms, actually 79-inch wingspan, pretty decent movement skills. You know, he has good He's very effective as a blitzer, I should say. So that's something that's very positive, kind of like a Micah McFadden-esque type of abilities there. And then he's very physical at the point of attack in the run game. So that's something that's positive as well. And then for the negatives, his coverage ability, I was about to say his pass coverage ability. I don't know why I couldn't just say that. Is definitely a little bit poor in terms of keeping up with some quicker tight ends, quicker running backs, whatever that may be. And then additionally to that, his tackling is not as good as you'd want to see for someone with such a large wingspan, kind of a larger sized guy as well. He's got to be able to make those tackles in the open field in the NFL. And that's kind of his negatives there. And, everyone kind of projects him right now in this fifth, sixth round range and sees him more as a special teams contributor more than anything that has the ability to, maybe step in at a starting spot, given injuries or whatever it may be. But I will say this, right? Notre Dame linebackers, a long history of some very solid players there. So, I think it's worth taking a shot on him.
And then we're also going to take a shot on our final pick in round six, pick 183 of this New York Giants third round mock draft 1.0. The edge, Muhammad Kamara out of Colorado State, 24 years old, 6'2", 239 pounds. We got 3 years of stuff on this guy because he is a little bit older at 24. So in 2021, 36 tackles, 7.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 pass deflection. And by the way, the stats have gone up each year, so that's obviously a good sign. In 2022, 44 tackles, so up by 12 from the previous year, 1 more sack at 8.5, 1 more forced fumble at 2 in that year. Sacks went up again by 12 in 2023 with 56 tackles, 13 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 1 pass deflection. So the edge rusher, at least we see consistency in the increase in production year after year. Obviously a bit of an older guy, 24 years old, but an edge rusher that, again, in the sixth round, you're looking for depth pieces. He's a guy that can do that. And he did play well at Colorado State.
Yeah, guy who has a really, really good motor. He wins most of the time with speed around the edge against those tackles. A little bit, obviously, very small for an edge rusher at that 6'1", 250 spot. So that's a negative. Before I even finish saying the positives, I think it just needs to be brought up again because that is why he's dropped so far. And then he sets the edge well in the run game. So that's a positive thing there. It's something that you would kind of expect from an older player in college. So I guess a positive, but something more that you'd expect as well. And then also, in terms of his kind of hips and ankles when rushing the passer, something that needs to be coached up a little bit because he wins a lot with his speed. But against some of these NFL tackles, he's going to need a little bit more technique-wise to win. And he does get stuck on blocks sometimes as well in the run game. So those are a couple things there to mention. But yeah, really good production, though. So I think it's... I think there's a positive upside here as a situational pass rusher for sure in the sixth round.
All right. So that's going to do it for our 2024 seven round New York Giants mock draft 1.0. Again, just to recap all the picks. So round one, pick 6 was wide receiver Malik Nabers out of LSU. Round two, pick 47 was cornerback Ennis Rakeshaw Jr. out of Missouri. Round three, pick 70 was safety Javon Ballard out of Georgia. Round four, pick 107 was running back Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Round 5, pick 166 was linebacker Maris LaFau out of Notre Dame. And round 6, pick 183, edge rusher Muhammad Kamara, Colorado State. All right, so we appreciate you listening to this episode of the Giant Take Podcast. Let us know what you thought on our social medias at the Giant Take Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Alex on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at Joshola29. And the reason I kept on saying 1.0 was because we will have a 2.0 at least before the NFL draft. Hopefully even more than that. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll see how the schedules look. And Alex, I mean, anything else you want to add before we wrap things up here on this draft filled fun episode of the Giant Take Podcast?
I mean, the one thing I hinted at before this, before we started doing the draft, is we kind of missed out on a position group. Obviously, no O-lineman, and I just couldn't find the right spot for one. I felt like every single time I had my eye on an O-lineman, they would just be taken like a few picks before. So Very frustrating from that standpoint, but yeah, I think they added a lot of depth at guard and also at tackle, so I'm not too concerned, but you know, would have been nice to get a guy maybe in the fourth round or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see for the next one, right? And I'm sure you'll address the position there. But we appreciate you listening, and you know, all the stuff is going to be in the podcast description for anything that I said you missed or you want to check out more information about us. And Alex, wrap things up here on this Monday episode.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode of the Giant Take Podcast. March Madness started, so hopefully everyone's enjoying that. Obviously, we're in.
March Madness is rolling, almost Sweet 16 time. I hate how that goes so fast, by the way. It's like the 2 days of the whole day filled with games, and then it's just like,
I was busy those days. I really didn't get a lot of time to watch it, unfortunately.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, really rough, but I will be locked in for the rest of the tournament, obviously. But it has been fun. Of course, I've seen stuff online and all that. I've watched a couple of games, at least the ends of them. So, yeah, hopefully everyone's enjoying that and your brackets are doing well. And mine's not, for anyone who cares. Mine's doing awful, actually. But, yeah, anyway, thank you. I had Kentucky in the championship, but yeah. So, yeah, that was my killer right there. And then my other bracket had Kentucky winning it all. I was really high on Kentucky and whatever. I don't want to talk about it. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode once again. And, you know, just hope everyone has a great week. And we'll see you all next time with more draft content.